It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Welcome back. Welcome in. This is Country Roads Confidential at earsports.com, a Paramount podcast. I am Mike Cassazza. It's Sunday night. Chris Anderson, I was at a function trying to have a normal life. And I joked, like, I was there and friends were like, oh, can't believe you came out of the cave. And I said, you know what? Just I put my feet up and something is bound to happen. And we all joked. And I was like, that's not a joke. And here we are, not even an hour after I said that, because West Virginia has hired a men's basketball coach. It is Darren DeVries. We're going to have to get used to that. It's not Darian DeVries. It's Darren DeVries. West Virginia fans have been tortured by the last names of their coaches at different positions and different teams forever. This is going to be a first name, last name fiasco, I guess. So let's get that out of the way. That's first impression. Second impression, Chris, this is pretty quick by coaching search standards. It's probably not quick enough for some people, but we kind of had this herky-jerky finish where it looked like it was going to be him, and all of a sudden, it wasn't. And then within the same day, snap your fingers, 5-year deal, new head coach.
I wanted to ask you about the timing. You mentioned the timing that you were out. It also just happened to be at the same time that maybe the next target on the list was getting blown out by 20, 30 points in the NCAA tournament. Coincidence or gamesmanship?
How much sanitizer solution do you think is needed to get rid of a handshake deal after a 40-point loss to an OK Duke team in the second round of the tournament?
That's a good question. Maybe that was in the fine print of that handshake deal, I think.
So obviously we've had the breadcrumbs for a while. Once Dusty May was off the board, and that wasn't necessarily a surprise. And once he was off the board, you moved the big whale out of the way, right? And you went to the next one on the list, and that just seemed like it was going to be DeVries for a while. We speculated about that. I just tried to do predictions, but when people said, hey, top of your head, who's 1, 2, 3, that was the pick for me for quite some time. And even when I got away from doing alphabetical order in some of the hot boards recently, he was the first one. I just know they've been kind of keen on him for a while, watching his games live, getting tapes and watching him, figuring out some of the players on the roster, Chris. What's the mobility of underclassmen? What would the staff look like? The salary? That is a private school. The contract is not accessible. What does the buyout look like? What do the staff salaries look like? There had been work into that one for a while. So that kind of seemed like it was going to be one there. But why not today? You know, they were out of the tournament on Thursday. And obviously Mark Byington, JMU, in the tournament today on Sunday. Why not announce it before Duke plays? Here's why. You can't announce it that you have your new coach, that it's Darren DeVries, 5 years, whatever million dollars, yada, yada, yada. We'll get those details soon. And then risk your second pick beating one of the great blue bloods in college basketball then, now, and tomorrow. And then saying, wait a second, why didn't you just wait a little bit longer and get the guy that you've been attached to for some time? There's a risk there, because if you don't announce it and they win and you announce it tomorrow, well, you still have that JMU Sweet 16 cloud hanging over your head. But the point is that even then, the story is your story. It's also lost a little bit because, yeah, JMU and also the women's team is playing Caitlin Clark in Iowa. So there's a couple of different factors at play there. I don't think they want this being the news of the day tomorrow. Like, what if this came out at this time tomorrow and they're about to take on Iowa in Iowa City? That's not great. So when it's safely assumed that Mark Byington will not be in the Sweet 16, and you know you can get DeVries on the phone and say, can we do this? You get it done. And it's out now. It's a sigh of relief for them because you don't have to worry about the Byington JMU thing in the Sweet 16. You have your guy, you can celebrate that. And again, this is pretty rapid for a coaching search. I think they can take a victory lap in that regard too, because of all the openings, they were, the first one, then they were like maybe third or fourth largest school available. A couple come off the board, a couple come in the board, but like they didn't get squeezed out. This is a guy they've liked for a while. I'm not sure they got their guy, but they got the guy that they didn't have to wait on too much longer. They didn't have to give up on him to get somebody else because he wasn't playing the game and talking to other schools. So a tidy conclusion, probably at the first moment they felt like they could pull the trigger and execute that.
But when you sit back and think about it, it all makes sense now. Because going back to when everybody was reporting the handshake deal for Byington, you repeated over and over again, hey, he's a choice, not the choice. West Virginia would prefer three or four other guys in front of him, one of those guys being DeVries. And then you look at the timing here. You just mentioned a couple things, a couple factors. The Byington JMU playing Sunday night, possibly going to the Sweet 16. West Virginia's women's team playing in Iowa City against number one Iowa, all that stuff. Like, and hey, maybe the hope was let's get this done, get this kind of agreed to, so to speak, and then we'll announce it Tuesday or Wednesday. Except, what about the other pieces? Louisville was expecting to get Dusty May. Instead, he goes to Michigan. Now Louisville's looking for somebody. Oklahoma State's still looking for somebody. Maybe those other schools are now calling DeVries, being like, hey. Notice you haven't got anything finalized with West Virginia yet. What do you say? And that might have helped expedite the timeline for West Virginia and DeVries to kind of get that done and out today rather than wait until, say, Tuesday, like I believe some people probably hoped they could.
Yeah, we said 2 to 3 days on Friday night. Today is the second day. Sunday night is the second day. So everything that we got from the inside or from the periphery, that's not that we are right. It's that West Virginia had a plan and a vision here. And I mean, I don't know how many deviations occurred, but it doesn't seem like very many.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
No, and this guy seems like was targeted very early. Again, he was one of your first ones on the board. He was one of the starters once you started splitting it up into starters, bench, and reserves and everything like that. And he just seems to fit. I mean, I know there's going to be really upset some people with the talk of the salary that was going to be used. I don't know how much of a factor that became with some of these other, maybe other options, but so far it seems like this was a good choice. It was one of their top choices, certainly. And then reported by Jeff Goodman immediately afterwards, not really to anybody's surprise, I don't think, but his son, conference player of the year, Tucker DeVries, also coming to Morgantown with his father to play at WVU. None of that is official yet. No, not in portal. I just had somebody check on that for me. Not officially in the portal, but the expectation is that he will follow his father, which not a bad way to start off a roster overhaul, if I must say so myself.
Yeah, he's played college basketball 3 years. He's been the NBC Freshman of the Year once and the Player of the Year twice. Pretty good. Got a year left, obviously. Finished with your dad is a great thing. They have some other players in that team that are good parts of what they do offensively and defensively that are underclassmen or have the option to transfer. They're guards mostly, some scorers, some facilitators, people who make that run. I think you wonder about their size. They could be good in the Big 12. Can they be? Are their skills? Is their success transferable? I don't know about that. It's maybe that's a challenge for them, and I'm sure they'd be invited because I think you're going to find out so much of the talking point after this is culture and fit. And Baker was big on, I wouldn't even say like restoring culture, but starting over on culture and getting something in here, a fresh start. Again, this is not going to be a head coach's program right now. This is going to be a team's program and a program's program. And if your coach can come in and find a way to instill that and enrich that, that's great. How better can you do that than having some of your people to come in? Your son, that's one thing, star power. But people who speak the language, who know how to run a practice, who know what to do when the coach yells at you, when he's mad at you, when he tells you got to work on this, when he lights you up in a film session. Well, if three people know that because they've been through that, it helps the other 10 people in the room to not freak out, to figure out what he's saying. They can lean into things like team functions better or just little traditional things that coaches like to do, you know, before a game or after a game. And everything just comes together quicker, too. And if you paid attention to what's happening with the women's basketball team, just think of the situation they've been in. Three coaches in 3 years. I'm not sure how harmonious the Dawn Plitzewite year was. The fact that she left so early makes me go, probably not. And Baker was like in shotgun for that year. It wasn't his hire, but he was around for the mess. And what did he do? He went out and he got Mark Kellogg, who's done wonderful things his first year. But you can just watch that team and tell they like being around each other. They have been through ups and downs. Their transfers, first year in a campus, first year with a new coach. There are people who've been on campus for a couple of years. It's their second or third coach. And it's a pretty even field team. Their level, they bought into what he's doing. The guy who hired him is the guy who hired DeVries. I'm not saying they hired the same person, but the parameters for the search, the requirements on the resume, probably similar. They probably parallel. So I think you can expect that whoever they bring with him or whoever he brings in, they're going to be able to carry the water and to make that culture, make that shift from one program to another, from one regime, one era of West Virginia basketball to the current one, a little bit easier, a little bit smoother than maybe it rightfully should be.
I know we're going to go more in depth on this throughout the week. Again, expecting a press release from the school later this evening. I'm assuming a press conference sometime this week as well. But I'm peeking over real quick before we wrap up to the message board, Mike. And split, you know, a lot of guys were kind of stood their ground on where they were going with a coach right from the beginning. But there was an interesting comment here asking about the staff that's coming with him. First off, I think anybody that might come with him, that might be on hold till they figure out what Drake's going to do. Like, are they going to promote any of those guys from within? Are they going to ask any of those guys to stay? Who does he want to bring with him? But as far as West Virginia's staff goes, the guys that were here this past year, what is your understanding about their status with this? Are they, because I believe they're out, like they're already gone and done, the guys that were assistant coaches and different staff members this year, correct?
Yeah, like not in the office cleaned out, getting paid, or maybe they're getting paid out soon, but did I see that they had offered someone online? They had offered like a kid from Europe or something like that. I don't know.
Somebody had sent me a message that he was contacted by West Virginia. And I was like, by whom?
Was that a burner?
Yeah.
So I don't, that's really interesting because now like they got to be at the news conference, right?
Yeah.
Just to make sure. Hi, I'm Jordan. Hi, I'm Alex. Hi, I'm Deshaun. Hi, I'm DeMar. I would think that again, I say this, that you want your coach to come in and do his thing, but you really want to have, you're going to have some holdovers here. I just don't think you're going to see all these people leave on the roster. So similarly, people who can work with fans or the people on campus, the administrators, the donors, it would be nice to have somebody there. And if that's not Alex or Deshaun or Jordan, I don't know who it would be. Those have been popular players in separate eras for different reasons there too. But I think you could do worse than like Jordan McCabe as an assistant coach who does like skill development. Maybe he's your personnel and portal guy because he's so connected. Is Alex a guy that wants to do on-court stuff or off-court stuff? Does Deshaun, who was a video guy before, does he want to do that again? I'd be surprised, but I have no understanding of them being involved or anything here. I don't know that that was part of the conversations at all. I doubt very much that it was hoisted upon DeVries. I know that he has been with Marty Richter, his assistant coach, for quite some time. I'm trying to remember another guy's name that he's been with for a while, but I don't know that Richter would be a replacement there. That's something that's going to come out too, but you would think that there is going to be some number of people who will follow him from office to the bench here, but also there should be some sort of an encouragement to consider of like, hey, this is a fit job. You have to fit. That's fine. But you can fit a lot better with the people by not wiping the entire slate clean here too. Consider at least one or two of the people who played here, who have coached here, been a part of the present, can help you be a part of the future. That would make things a little bit easier, I think, at the outset. Who that is, I have no idea. If that's the outcome, great. Would that be what he wants to do? We'll find out.
Mike, I think we're going to have to wrap it up here because we got to get ready for that press release, find out when this press conference is, and get started on some more stories to get involved. Yeah, there seems to be, what is this, excitement about the basketball team. Mike, I'm a little rusty on this. We're going to have to figure this out again, but get back in the groove about what it's like to have positive stories and positive vibes around the program. And we're going to have some stories up this week for sure, because I imagine there will be more news, like Tucker DeVries following his father to the program, some guys leaving, portals open. And again, no one's left, technically. Everybody's still on the roster that has eligibility, but stuff's going to happen. There's going to be movement, some guys out, some guys in. But no matter what, I think this is the first time in a long time there's been some positive vibes, at least on our message board, about the WVU Hoops program.
Yeah, and if people ask you, hey, should you be excited? Well, how about this? 6 years as a head coach, 6 20-win seasons, average 24 overall wins, 12 conference wins, 3 NCAA tournament appearances, 1 is an at-large, which is tough to do in the NBC. He's been to the final of that conference tournament 4 straight years. He's 2-2 with automatic bids the past 2 years. And for defensive purposes, his KenPom numbers have gone from the 160s to 41 last year and 67 this year. And that is impressive, but also they became pretty offensive, especially with his son Tucker lighting things up in that conference. To have an offensive piece like that, but to continue to improve defensively, that's encouraging. And it shows that he had a vision. He saw it through, even though he had some incentive to become a little bit more offensively inclined. He did not lose sight of the defensive focus, which is obviously what Rem Baker wanted.
Is Tucker sitting with his father at the press conference introduction?
Well, just for support, of course.
Okay, just checking. Mm-hmm.
You know, former Drake coach Nico Medved, I wonder if he'd be there.
Don't start.
Chris, I just want to shake your hand before we go.
Yeah.
Until next time, I'm Mike Casaza.
And I'm Chris Anderson.
We will talk to you then.